everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. My guest today is Miss Cynthia Dobbs Sutton. Cynthia is the director of the Ocean Springs Chamber of Commerce Main Street Tourism Bureau. She also co-hosts the Ocean Springs Community Live Show with Sarah Karkish. Sarah is the director of the Mary C. Cynthia and I talk about our wonderful city of Ocean Springs and the many exciting things we have to do in the town. I learned that the Chamber of Commerce isn't a government entity. Rather, it's a nonprofit working closely with city leaders and businesses to create economic sustainability and improve the already stunning business climate we have here in Ocean Springs. She's a fantastic personality, and I hope she starts her own podcast one day. I'm thrilled to bring this episode to you. Everyone, please welcome Cynthia Dobbs Sutton. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm going to clear my throat. That may happen a few times. And
No problem at all. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Shop and Chivalry Podcast. I'm here with my guest today, Cynthia Dobbs Sutton, yes?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Well, Cynthia, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me about yourself.
Okay, well, I work for the Ocean Springs Chamber of Commerce Main Street Tourism Bureau. It's kind of a mouthful. We are three entities in one.
Okay.
I'm actually the executive director of that organization.
No big deal.
Right? So we do a lot of fun things in Ocean Springs, but I've been part of the chamber for over 14 years.
Okay.
You know, I kind of say I started from the ground up. My former director was an amazing person. She was there for 29 years. Mm-hmm. She was a big mover and shaker, not only in the city, but throughout the entire state. So I learned a lot. So I was very fortunate to learn a lot. But I started from being an assistant to moving up to public relations, to event planning, to membership, to a little bit of everything.
Uh-huh.
And then luckily got to where I am today.
Well, that's fantastic because you've got experience in all those different areas. So and that's really what you want out of a director, not just some outside hire that has to learn these things or tell people who've done it for a while how to do their job, you know?
Exactly. Like I said, I've done everything. You know, like I'll tell people sometimes, you know, it doesn't really sound very sexy, but you know what? If a toilet overflows, let me tell you how to turn the knob off in the back. You're going to have to do it. I've done it, you know?
Right. So what's your background? What got you to that point?
Well, I was born in Ocean Springs. Didn't always live in Ocean Springs. My dad is a police officer, so we kind of followed him around.
Sure.
He followed his brother throughout Alabama, which is kind of why I can't lose my southern twang. So we lived in North Alabama growing up until we were a teenager. Then we came back down here and because my mom's side of the family is here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So graduated from high school and went to college. And when I have a twin sister.
Okay.
And her name is Cecilia. She works for the city of Biloxi. But when we were young, right, we always had a passion for journalism. So this is kind of a funny little story. We literally used to set up an ironing board and stare at a mirror and pretend to be news reporters. Oh, we used to have these notebooks of these stories and characters and everything. So we always kind of wanted to do
this. Did you ever do one of these things where like you would pretend like you're coming back from break and back again?
Right. Well, yeah. Yes, we did. Yeah. I mean, our ironing board was our table. You know what I mean? You know, so yeah, but I mean, it was really cool. I mean, like we had characters and we'd be like, you know, like on the next episode, Jim Bob will be back, Cecilia. What do you think about that? You know what I mean? Like that, you know, there's certain people that were always, you know, reoccurring. So it was like a broad newscast, but it had like a weird kind of story addition to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's too cool.
So I've always wanted to do kind of the stuff that I do now. Mm-hmm. You know, I love journalism. I have an undergraduate degree in broadcast journalism. So I always wanted to be a writer or a reporter.
Okay.
So I kind of feel in this job I kind of get to. So after I got my undergraduate degree, Of course, you know, you get out of college and, you know, everybody thinks you're just going to get that job you want. That does not normally happen. I mean,
at least.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I did all kind of odd and end jobs. Right after I had my undergraduate degree, you know, thinking I'm going to be a reporter and all this stuff. And I did freelance things and things like that. But I went back to school and got a degree in public relations. And really, actually, before I got a degree in public relations, I actually was a paralegal for several years.
Okay.
Because my dad's in law, so I kind of like that. I'm kind of rambling. But where I got to where I am, though, is that I just always had that passion for that. And I love doing that. And then when I got my master's degree in public relations, friends, I was like, okay, I'm a little more honed into what form of communication I like. I like doing this. Yeah. Public relations is writing. It's news. It's energy. It's activity. I mean, it's a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed that kind of area. So then I started looking for jobs in that area. And I applied at the Ocean Springs Chamber because I'm kind of like, okay, they kind of look like they're really involved in Ocean Springs. When I want to know what's going on, I kind of check out their sites and pay attention to them.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, and I got a job at the Ocean Springs Chamber about almost 14 years ago, and that's where I've been ever since. And I started, like I said, from the ground up to where I am now. But I still get to kind of write press releases, still get to work with the media, the fun things that I like. I didn't realize I would like event planning as much as I do, though.
Really?
So, yeah, so that's really cool. And when you're in college, you know, I mean, you always take a course where you have to, well, in communication anyway, where you have to, like, plan an event or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my gosh, I didn't know the amount of work you have to do to put on, like, a festival or something like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's something about things that take a lot of work and take a lot out of you that you tend to value more for some reason.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I've never understood that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people kind of say, like, don't you have some hobbies? I mean, you know, I'm like, marketing? And I'm like, that's not a hobby. I'm like, that's your work. And I'm like, well, I like that kind of stuff. You know, I like designing, creating things like that. You know, of course, you know, everyone has their, you know, I'm not a professional at it by any means, but it's just fun and creative. So I like doing creative things and, you know, that's what I do sometimes.
So what kept you there? I mean, what you've been there for what, 14 years, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So why stay at this place for 14 years? What did it give to you?
You know, I really think in that job, why I stayed, is because it's one of those jobs, you know, you can either have a job where you work to live or you live to work, mm-hmm. you know, and you have a job where it's about money and retirement and enjoying yourself later in life, or it's about doing what you love, regardless of what the pay is. I mean, I work for a nonprofit, you know, and you do it just because you love it. And so that's why I picked the job, because I love what I do. And what I love about it is the job really gives back to the community. It's one of those ones where you see a difference in the community. You are literally making a family when they come into the visitor center happy because they found something cool or exciting to do in town, or you helped a business sustain, or you helped bring in a new business that, you don't know, their family was struggling and they moved from California or something all the way over here and on a whim wanted to create a business. And, you know, because of what we do with the numerous festivals and activities that we do, that person chose our town, that family chose our town, they created a business and they're surviving and thriving. And then I go in there and talk to them, or even like after a festival, talking to a vendor, and they're happy.
Yeah.
And that's why I do what I do. You know, we get to help make people, families, businesses happy. We help them sustain. We help them have a life in this world.
And there was a lot of that in this past year.
Yes.
For sure.
Most definitely.
It was a tough year, but you know, the businesses in Ocean Springs, and feel free to take some credit for this, but the businesses in Ocean Springs seem to do pretty well, though, despite all of the issues with COVID and limited seating.
Well, you know, I think it really made people change their perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, in downtown alone, we have more than 150 businesses, shops, restaurants, office space, things like that. And then throughout town, another 100, 150 businesses or more throughout town in general. So we've always kind of had a thriving kind of community. But during COVID, everybody had to change. Everybody had to adapt.
Yeah.
And specifically in the downtown area, which is where the concentration of all the shops and the restaurants are.
Right.
A lot of the shops, I'll say, the retailers, they didn't have a lot of internet presence. You know, they may have had like maybe a social media, meaning a Facebook page. You know, I would say 80% of them did not have a website to sell their clothes on. You know, they had, or their accessories.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They used Facebook to tell their story. And right as COVID was coming around, a lot of them were beginning to use Instagram. Mm. I mean, that's huge. I mean, that's how I do a lot of my shopping these days. It's like, ooh, what's that on Instagram? Oh, I want that. Sold. Comment sold. Oh, no. It's shipped to me in 2 days. What do I do? So a lot of businesses were starting to catch on to that vibe of the social media, specifically like Instagram. And then when COVID hit, nobody could come visit their shops. You know, in Ocean Springs, we're really big on hospitality and one-on-one interaction, customer service. Well, they didn't have that. So it forced them to get websites. It forced them to learn how to use social media outside of Facebook. And I would say 99%, if not 100%, of all of our retailers now have a website or some type of Instagram presence,
sure,
which is what helped them sustain. And we have a lot of businesses that say during COVID, of course, everybody had bumps. Everybody had those down times. But some of them had months that were better than a non-COVID month.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point of getting on the internet, and I think specifically of the restaurants, right? So there were a number of restaurants where you didn't have the ability to like kind of call in, place an order,
right,
and go pick it up. And then you had this explosion of this, which what they've done essentially is they have, you know, exponentially increased the size of their customer area that, yep, they can serve. You know, their restaurant got way bigger, mm-hmm, you know, without them having to really invest much into infrastructure. And not just that, but you know, people didn't want to touch other people,
right?
You know, so they had to invest in like the touchless like payment stuff, which advanced their point of sale system as well, which gave them also capabilities that they probably haven't even discovered yet.
Right. And a lot of our restaurants, per se, a lot of them have outdoor seating or some form, but during COVID, it enhanced it. It made them have it even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've actually seen some expansions, footprints. Some of our businesses, restaurants in downtown now have like full outdoor seating, games, activities, bars outside in their footprint, on their footprint in their outdoor dining area, patio, yeah, area that they didn't have before. And now it's just become a staple part of it. And really, I think now that we're hopefully coming out of COVID, that it actually attracts more people. You know, we're a pet-friendly community, so now families can come out with their pets, and we've seen a lot lately,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
sit out on those patios and eat and, mm-hmm, watch the TV that's, you, yeah, know, on, you know, whatever game or something that's on, and just kind of enjoy their life even more.
Well, and when somebody sees a city, maybe somebody who's looking to open up a business, when they see a city that in a global pandemic, they can still thrive,
yep,
and their city supports them, that's stability.
It is.
That's what that is. You know, that's something, that's an environment that despite what's going on can survive, which means you can still make money.
Right.
You know, so there's huge value to that mm-hmm, I'm not sure if people are really appreciating. And again, I don't know how involved y'all were on that, if you'd, mm-hmm, like to expand, but.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we were majorly involved. I like to kind of say that the city and the chamber work very, very closely together. And I think that's really important in an organization like we are. You know, we're not just a normal chamber of commerce. We're also the marketing arm of the city. And we do a lot of public relations and advertising for the city. So when the pandemic hit, you know, I really do like crisis communication. And so we were thrown into that. So of course, even though, you know, it involves the city, it didn't necessarily involve events. Like I wanted to help, you know, we're the voice of the business community. I wanted to help the businesses. So we worked closely with the city during that, but I think it was kind of really neat. Our current mayor, Shay Dobson, one of the things he did is he actually organized, and we did it twice, these community meetings, and they were out in the open, out in the public. All these restaurants didn't know what's going on. They didn't know, are you shutting us down? You know, it's going to kill our business. We got to find a way to survive, to thrive. And our city organized with the chamber's help these community meetings, and it was amazing to just see outside in the opening. We would have 20 or 30 restaurant owners and staff just all spaced out, just there to hear what's going on. And I think that actually really helped a lot of the form of communication within the city, not necessarily just the city government, but the city itself. So everybody kind of began to kind of really work together and come together, and we always do, but this was in a different way.
Yeah.
And those restaurants really were able to kind of hear what's going on. And I think that the city and the chamber did a really, really good job of keep pumping out that information on a weekly basis to those businesses in whatever shape or form we could. Facebook, email, text, phone calls, face-to-face, foot traffic, however we had to get that information out to them. And I think a lot of that literally did help them hang on. Of course, you know, nobody liked those regulations, especially the restaurant community, when they had to shut down and only be able to do takeout and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some businesses, you know, didn't make it throughout it, but most of them did. And I think a lot of it did have a hand in, a lot of it has to do with the communication that the city and the chamber worked with those businesses, because, you know, we are a tourist destination. We have a highest concentration of shops and restaurants in one area. So it was very important to take care of them the best that we could. And I thought that was kind of cool. And I think it really helped them as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly cool. You might be understating it. You know, one of the things that I appreciated about the way businesses were handled in Ocean Springs is that, well, the best decisions are typically made at the margin, mm-hmm. right? So it's right along the margin of the different extremes, and I felt like the decisions that were made through Shay's office, likely with influence from you and other business owners, is that they were just gradual, minute changes just to appease the specific scenario that existed at the time. Not some, we're shutting everything down, we're gonna, you know, everyone, like, you can't even bring employees to work, which means you can't do a takeout option. No, y'all manage it yourselves. Understand if someone gets COVID, you know, like, it's gonna shut the business down. So take care of yourselves. Right. It felt every step of the way like that's a modest, reasonable decision to make. So that's kudos great. To y'all.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of criticism out there of, you know, that not doing enough or anything. But, you know, I mean, everybody has to be careful and everybody has to have their own personal responsibility in situations like that. So thanks for saying that. I think, nobody has ever been through anything like that before. So, you know, I think that I'm going to give kudos to our city government for literally, you know, doing what they did the way that they did to kind of help our community hang in there.
Yeah. And again, I felt like it was a great job because, again, you weren't just dealing with the pandemic or the city wasn't, but it was also the opinions of people on social media, which got pretty loud, to say the least.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So how does the chamber operate as a nonprofit with the city? What's that relation? And well, first of all, why? Why is it like that?
Yeah, well, chambers of commerce are nonprofits.
Okay.
You know, they are entities that have to raise their own money. So they're usually membership-based. We are too, but since we do so many arms, that's not our sole focus. So a lot of chambers of commerce get their funding by fundraising and by membership. So we do that, and we have a partnership with the city because we're within the city. We're totally separate entities. You know, we don't get, you know, the city and benefits, you know, the city benefits like the insurances and things like that a city organization does have. You know, we have to figure out how to make those things work for our employees on our own. But we have to kind of raise our own money. And since we do so much in the city, like I said, we are a different organization where we literally have chosen to become like a festival chamber of commerce. Most chambers are focused on professional development and Main Street. We're also a Main Street organization. A Main Street community, Their purpose is to generate traffic, to preserve the historic aspects of a community, and focus on the heartbeat of town, which is usually a downtown area. And out of that, that's where they've created festivals and activities to help create all those fun, happy aspects, including revenue generating qualities to our businesses. So we're a chamber, we're a Main Street, and then we're a tourism bureau, which means we have a visitor center. But we work really closely with our regional tourism bureau, our state tourism bureau. I've gone to some tourism marketing colleges and things like that. And thanks again to my former director, who was involved in all of those in the 12 states around the South region and things like that. So because we kind of do that, like each of those little aspects that I kind of said to me kind of fit in with our community of Ocean Springs.
Yeah.
You know, Ocean Springs, the city of Ocean Springs, that's a municipality, and their job is to take care of the city, to protect and serve, you know, make sure everybody's utilities and all that and infrastructure and all that is going. And we kind of partner with them by helping bring that business to town, which helps give them the sales tax base and things that they need to do what they need to do to help a city sustain. So it's kind of a weird, kind of different kind of partnership and how you said kind of how that dynamic works. I don't know if I explained that very well. But with that being said, we love what we do. And we put on average about 13 festivals a year, if festivals or events a year. And there's only 12 months in a year, which we have to have the city to do any of that. We're using public streets, city property, things like that.
Probably to ask city police, you know, to be involved, things of that nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the mayor and the aldermen kind of understand this. You know, I mean, they do, but if they ever thought of like, you're going to actually learn how to do festivals, you know, no, that's not my job. That's not what I do. But they literally all know how to do p- put on a festival, yeah. you know? So it's kind of a neat dynamic. And then we're the marketing arm of the city. You know, we love marketing. I do. I love marketing. I love advertising. I love the design work like I had talked about. So we do all the advertising for the town. We have a cool tourism commercial, you know, that came out and shows people how what they could do, shop, dine, stay in Ocean yeah. Springs. We do some marketing pieces, like we have a town tour guide that we give out. We have a downtown walking map. So we produce marketing collateral that helps mm-hmm. sell the community of Ocean Springs.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a weird way to answer that question, but that's kind of how I answered it, how we kind of work together and kind of fit together.
No,
so
I got you.
I think a lot, one of our aldermen actually, when he goes to conferences and things like that, he always says, people say, like, how do you have such a great town? How do you guys thrive and survive? And he says, you've got to have a good relationship with your Chamber of Commerce. And we really, really do. And I think that partnership really helps all those other areas excel. And we just, you know, have been very fortunate that we work really well together.
Yeah, and the citizens are the ones who really benefit from that. So
exactly. And, you know, we like to say they're a part of all that, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be a ghost town without our local business owners, our residents. And they're the ones, that, I mean, they come to us with ideas, too, of what they want to see, what they want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a food crawl event coming up.
Oh, yeah. Next weekend, right?
That's right. Yeah. And
this is the 14th for anybody that's listening.
Right. And how that came about is we met with several of the restaurant owners, just regular people, you know, whether it's the owners, whether it's their managers or their staff. And we met with several of those and just asked them, you know, we can't bring back our huge Taste of Ocean Springs event right now because, you know, there still are, you know, some COVID times and restrictions. And at the beginning of the year when we were planning this, that was still in effect. And they're the ones who came up with this event to come up with a food crawl, a condensed version of Taste. So our residents, our business owners, families, they're all part of everything that I talk about, that what we do, the city, the chamber partnership. You know, we make all this to help these businesses, these families happy, but they're actually a part, and sometimes they don't even realize it, they're a part yeah. of planning and creating all of this activity as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, the goal of marketing, you know, of course, is to know the audience that you're going to market to and make mm-hmm. sure that you're producing mm-hmm. something that they want to consume. So, you know, implicitly, they're the benefactors right. and also people that should be, you know, involved, you know, mm-hmm. at least with what they want to see in the city. But how do you, so when I look on the website, and the website's very well done, and there's plenty of events on there, I don't know how you do the, or how the organization does as many as they do, but on there, you get the sense that it's not just, as you've said, it's many things, and mm-hmm. business is just one side of it, but you also help sustain the arts and culture. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say how we do it is I have a really, really good team.
Yeah.
Really good team. Really well-educated team that have a passion and just love what I do.
Yeah.
You know, they love to be a part of all that. So how do we do all that? Is that what you just asked?
Yeah,
remind
yeah.
me of that question again.
Yeah. just how does the chamber work towards spreading the message of the art and culture
yeah.
of the city?
Oh, yeah.
And bolstering that.
Right. Well, one way I'll say is I always kind of like to mention our new little community live show. I mean, it's not new. We've just brought it back.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's been great. I've watched all of them.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. my co-host is the director that runs the Mary C. O'Keefe Cultural Center, mm-hmm. which now has become a full city entity. The building's always been owned by the city. So, again, keeping that city chamber partnership, that's really, really good. But I kind of just fell into finding my co-host, actually. I'll mention that real quick. The purpose of what we do falls into just what you ask is what I think. And it's just one of the ways that we kind of do that with the message. So I just fell into getting to know the director when I actually got to know her. She wasn't the director. She wasn't part of the Mary C. And I had actually interviewed her as an artist a few months before that, and I'm literally interviewing her on our little podcast show, and the whole time I'm like, oh, I like how she interacts. I like how she's talking. I'm like, can I bring my community live show back? She would be a great co-host. You know, so I asked her, and, you know, she's an artist. That's not her background, being in front of a camera and talking and interviewing other people.
It's you know? Just a different art form. That's
it
all it is.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I say. I always say I am an artist in my own way with the marketing, advertising, yeah. writing. You know what I mean? So I asked her if she would be the co-host, and she was really nervous, but but agreed to do it, and now she loves it. She loves it. You know, we try to do it twice a month. It's called the Ocean Springs Community Live Show, and it's a show that we put on the Chamber's Facebook page, share to the Mary C's Facebook page, and then we put it on our YouTube page. And basically, the gist of it is to literally authentically explore the arts, culture, entertainment, and education throughout Ocean Springs. So we're known as an arts community, and I will say that, you know, we're always known as an arts community, but you don't always see the art. You kind of get used to the art that's out there. So this was kind of a fun way to maybe expose that, meaning not necessarily expose a mural that's on a wall, but expose the artist. Expose that, you know, we have, I'll use the Mary C. for an example. We have a culinary cafe at the Mary C., and they have a chef there that they always have, but, you know, they have a chef there that kind of runs the culinary programs. And that chef is an artist himself. You know, he does an art of food. You know, have you ever seen how a chef has decorated their plates and things like that? Yeah. That's an art too. So we kind of wanted to take it an extra level and kind of explore the arts in every area. You know, our retail shops. In our retail shops, we literally have jewelry makers that literally make earrings and sell in some of our retail shops. Oh. You know, that's an artist. You know, people think of the big world fashion design in New York. We have local artists that do this same kind of stuff, and this is kind of a way for us to show the community and maybe the world, you know, what Ocean Springs has to offer in those areas of arts, culture, events, and activities. Plus, at the same time, it's like an education tool. It informs the community. So we try to tell them of what event's coming up, what activity is coming up. And sometimes we'll interview those organizers, which also kind of gives that real down-home perspective of who people are and what they do in our community of Ocean Springs.
Yeah, so, well, I think it's great, too, because what you're doing when you're highlighting the individuals who make the jewelry that the jewelry that gets sold in Ocean Springs, for somebody that buys local, that's buying local.
Exactly.
That's not like you're going to this local business who ordered from a wholesaler, you know, out of country or whatever.
Right.
You know, this is from the fruits of the labor in this city, and you're purchasing that.
Right.
You know, so.
And we have, you know, we, like I said, we are an art community. So what better way to support those local artists and help those local artists than to kind of help them a little bit, tell their story and help people understand just what you just said about that, their local art, buying local and things like that. Because you think when you just walk into a shop and pick up a pair of earrings, you know, who knows, you know, not all of them are going to be, you know, locally made, but there are some that are. And same as clothing and things like that. You know, we have fabric, people that do fabric design and things like that. So it's really, really cool to kind of see that. And also I'll kind of like start to like flow into the Peter Anderson Festival. You know, we actually had several years ago, we actually had seven or so artists that literally tried to locate a business in the community of Ocean Springs. We have a few of them that are still here to this day because they were an artist or a vendor at our festival and fell in love with Ocean Springs and they wanted to open a shop in Ocean Springs. So we even have some of those artist folks that are running their own businesses in the community as well.
People don't think about that, about how at a festival, somebody might just fall in love with the climate and say, well, I've got to open a business here. So it's definitely more than just, you know, for the citizens to come out and buy things.
Exactly.
And
it's an economic driver to our community as well, especially for the Peter Anderson Festival and Cruising the Coast. You know, our festivals, like I said, are what help a lot of our businesses sustain. You know, we're not one of those communities that have a casino or anything big like that, a huge big box or a shopping mall. Yeah, I do say our downtown walking district is an outdoor shopping mall on its own.
Yeah.
But we don't have that as I call it, an attractor. We don't have that attractor to our community like some of the other cities do. So how do we do that? We do that with our festivals and events, which is an economic driver, which grows that, creates that, and builds you know, our community.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So let me ask you, there's been a lot of talk about development in East Ocean Springs.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And it does seem that the Chamber, well, it's for obvious reasons, the Chamber is very invested in, you know, sustainment of downtown, invigorating downtown. Right. Is there room to develop out in East Ocean Springs?
Yeah, there is. I kind of like to say, you know, we pay attention to downtown, uptown, all around town. You know, the highest concentration of events and activities are going to happen in downtown because that's just the way the walkable community is situated.
Sure.
You know, the traffic on Highway 90, there is, you know, a lot of traffic traveling every day on that busy way. It's kind of hard sometimes for people to turn off and go to, you know, a little district or, you know, a shop or something like that. So even though we do focus a lot on downtown, we do try our best to focus on Highway 90 and the east side of town as well. you know, we make sure we try to get them involved in events and activities. But it's just a different world downtown versus Highway 90.
It's also not so simple that you can just put a building there because there's wetlands. And
that's what I was about to say. So, like, specifically the east side of town, you know, there's a lot of wetlands. They have to be mitigated and things like that. And people don't understand, you know, that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen in a week or two. You know, that's extra money for a developer that's coming in. Who's going to do that? Is the city going to work? Is the county involved? You know, where are those property lines in? Who's going to do what? Who's going to do that? This new development may be awesome that could come into our community, but it takes a lot of parts and pieces. So I do believe the east side of town is developing. It's just a little slower than people think, but it doesn't mean that our current administration hasn't done a lot of behind the scenes work to start making that infrastructure available. Mm-hmm. You know,
so can you talk about some of that? What's some of the things that they've done?
Yeah, well, you know, there a lot of it they're focusing on paying attention to, you know, making sure they get all the the utilities and all that up to date and current. They're fixing a lot of roads, a lot of properties and things like that. Our current mayor's been working on getting TIFs, tax incentives for developers who come into town. So there's been a lot of that behind the scenes work to kind of make that ready. You know, the Highway 57 sports complex is amazing, but it's also surrounded by wetlands. So they've done some things to kind of help with that property as well that people may not see or know about.
Right.
But all that is a part of that development, getting everything set up for not just a neighborhood, but for a business. You know, and the city and the chamber work together on trying to find ways to recruit businesses and things like that. We've done studies over the years to know what the leakage studies are, what's good for your town and what's not. You know, everybody wants, you know, something awesome in our community of Ocean Springs. We do have to understand we are surrounded by Pascagoula, D'Iberville, and Biloxi.
Yeah.
You know, and some of those places have a lot more money than we have, so they can offer a lot more incentives than we can for a big box or, you know, a big time business to come into our town. So we've kind of tried to find creative ways to kind of work with those similar but smaller developers. And then again, like I said, work with the city who's done ways to find some new incentives to kind of bring those developers to kind of want to come be in Ocean Springs, because we know they do. They do want to develop in Ocean Springs.
Yeah.
You know.
Honestly, when it comes to the big box stores, it seems like the citizens may not want big box stores. I mean, I think
in Ocean Springs, correct.
I think to some degree you would have to have the right one, and I'm sure citizens would be able to make an exception to the right affluent store.
Right.
But generally, like, dropping like an academy in Ocean Springs would probably be a non-starter for a lot of people in Ocean Springs.
Exactly. And, you know, and I think a lot of the community would voice that opinion if something like that happened.
Yeah.
You know, we've had this big vacant building on Highway 90. It used to be the old Dale Shamps property.
Yeah.
You know, it's now developed into, you know, like a Goodwill facility and things like that. But that's taken years and years to make that happen. And that's not a fault of the city. You know, it's just are the community that we are. You know, it's hard to get something. And that was a huge, like, warehouse size building, you know, and the owner was, you know, willing to kind of chop it up, but that was a monster project. So things like that, you really have to take time, and you have to find the right developers, the right folks that honestly have the right amount of money to be able to put in to facilities like that. And luckily we only have, you know, small things like that, but most of them are hopefully clean slates where, you know, once an area is mitigated, if that's a property that they want, then hopefully we're getting better at being able to work with them and give them some incentives to kind of make it worth their while. We're still a small town, so, you know, we can't compete with, you know, one of the bigger towns like Biloxi. I'll say Biloxi.
Yeah. Well, is it, it must be getting more difficult to fill those big, like, strip malls anyway, because it's what would be like a store where you would have a logistics line coming in to deliver products. Nowadays, Amazon and online shopping is getting so much more efficient to do it outside of the store.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all running into any issues like that?
Well, you know, we're a community, you know, here in Mississippi, one of our main sources of development or, you know, the economy, we are a manufacturing type of state, you know, so just kind of like what you described, does fit within Mississippi as well. But again, everything's become more digital, more creative and things like that. So yes, it is harder to get something like that. But I kind of like to say one thing that I've kind of noticed is over the last several years, economic developers are just starting to throw in, you know, some may say they always have done it, but now you like literally hear it every single time they do a pitch. You hear them say, it's all about the quality of life. And us in the chamber, the Main Street world, that's what we've lived by, you know, for the last 100 years. Of course, it's about quality of life. Yeah. That's always been a part of our recruitment to the community, is what quality of life that person's going to get. So, you know, like if a big company comes into town, it's not just about putting that infrastructure up and building that assembly line or something like that. It's also about the quality of life. It's about not just where they can live, it's about what they can do when they come into that town. If you put something like a hotel up, which we do need one in downtown, if you do put a hotel up in town, you know, we've had developers over the years say, how are we going to book our rooms on Monday and Tuesday nights? You know, how are we going to make sure we have so much capacity, so many occupancy occupied rooms? How are we going to do that? You know, and if you can't show them that, then you're going to lose that bid. They're not going to come. And we feel some of those ways of doing that is by the quality of life that we've always brought to them, by having, you know, the nature aspect that is, you know, just, you know, thanks to God that those things are a part of our town.
Yeah.
But then also things like the festivals and the events that we create, being an arts town, always finding something creative and fun to do, new events, new activities, and things like that. So that quality of life aspect has always been for us a very vital part of development. But And now that's becoming just a norm for these developers. But I think that gives us one up and an edge in some areas for development and things like that, with that change and that growth and the way things have moved over the last, I would say, 5-6 years, actually.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, and you see that in how buildings that are box store-esque are, mm-hmm. are built, you know, and I'm going to talk about Dollar General.
Yes. Right,
the one on Government, very well done. And
Have you seen the one right coming off the bridge from Highway 90?
I've been in it. It's a mm-hmm. great building. It's a great building. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know that was happening until around December, when people were coming into town. They were complaining on Facebook, like, this is the
Correct.
First thing I see.
Yep.
And I thought, like, mm-hmm. okay, well, yeah, that's reasonable. Even though it's not, you've got like a, you know, a little old rundown yep. gas station, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. But the
character.
Yeah. but the building came out great. It came out wonderful.
Sure did.
So what, like, how involved is the chamber in those mm-hmm. situations? Because all the planning and everything goes to the city.
Right.
So do
Correct.
Y'all have a seat at the table?
We do if they need us. We do. You know, I kind of call us like the fluff arm.
Okay.
You know, like, we're really good at providing a lot of the demographics because of the events and the activities that we do, that we track that for grants and funding and things like that ourselves. So we're kind of the fluff part of that. If they need those resources, they need that information, then yeah, we have a seat at that table. A lot of times developers who come into town, not all, but a lot of times they'll go to the city, you know, because that's where you should go first, and that's where you go to get all that, the main information.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they're come to us for that quality of life, that fluff piece, that we can kind of show them what we do for the community of Ocean Springs. And I don't just mean the chamber. I mean chamber, city, citizens, all that we just talked about, what we do for the community of Ocean Springs to help make that development a little more enticing. So we do have a seat at the table, but it's a more creative way sometimes.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What's the vision? I mean, you operate a nonprofit, and, mm-hmm. and oftentimes in nonprofits, they don't carry the authority of, well, typically by design, of, say, law that a city would to
right.
provide legal influence. You have to provide pure influence. So
mm-hmm.
so what vision do you have for the city or for the organization, or however you want to answer this question? And then how do you leverage influence? Get that done.
Okay. Well, I would say leverage influence. I'll just cover that real quick because that's short. It's all about the relationships you make.
Yeah.
It's all about, and it's not just about the relationships you make. It's also about your proven reliability.
Yeah.
You know, you got to show the community that you are dependable. You know, it's not about which side you're on.
Right.
It's about showing what you can produce, you know, showing what type of partnership you have, being honest, being there, just being a part of all of that, to me, takes a lot, because, you know, someone can mess that up in a second. You know, they can, have their own personal opinions in that. And that could be like, wait a minute, but what does the voice of the community want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can mess somebody up. So I think that we've done really good with being a part of the community and knowing the community, to be able, because of all that, that we have an influence because we know that. Like, we spend every day, you know, one of my staff people go and visit 80 plus businesses a week, every day, person to person, on foot. You know, and to me that means a lot because, you know, some days he'll be gone all day, but he'll be talking to those merchants, he'll be talking to those business owners, he'll see a visitor eating in an outdoor courtyard and spark up a conversation with them and find out what they like, why they like the community, what can we do better in the community. And, you know, since we're so close with the city, if we need to, we take that information back to the city, get it to the right alderman, things like that. And they have that same type of passion as well, that they're going to go visit those businesses. They're going to go talk to those people in the community. And together, that just kind of works in that influential direction.
Yeah.
So as for a vision, you know, I think we've done a lot, meaning chamber, but community-wise, in the last 10 or so years. You know, it really, Ocean Springs has developed. Ocean Springs has changed. Ocean Springs is not going to stay the way that it always has been, but we got to preserve the character. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I don't know if this is bad to say, but I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it in any bad way, that I think we've lost a lot of art in our community. Mm-hmm. You know, we're an art town, and I really do believe, you know, the Anderson family, Walter Anderson, Peter Anderson, James McConnell Anderson, their parents have really helped start the economic development, the growth, the art in our community of Ocean Springs.
Okay.
You know, the Anderson brothers, their mom used to make the kids do something every day, write, do this, do that, paint. And she started her own little art colony in the community. And basically from that, artists would start to live here, work here. So I think they have a hand in the development and who we are and what we are today. So you never want to lose that connection, that art. And we haven't. But you just don't see it as much as it used to. And the reason why, in my opinion, is because the whole entire Mississippi Gulf Coast, their artistical influences are coming out in everything that they do. You've seen the mural projects over in Biloxi that they've been doing. You know, so it doesn't necessarily make us all the same, but we've lost that extra height of art.
Yeah.
So we've actually been working on some creative things. We have this cool group called the Ospreys Organization.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things they're doing is they went to the city not too long ago and pitched that they're working on a grant for a pocket park. And in that pocket park, they're going to add art. So they're going to paint the street of that pocket park in a real cool way, and they want to use local artists to do that. So we're beginning to find new ways to bring that art back to life in the community of Ocean Springs. And so as for the vision-wise, you know, we've lost our art, so I want to find some ways to kind of bring that art back a little more prominent into the community. And that's going to take time, and that's going to take partners, and everybody's doing that. So there'll be things that people won't see that we do. The Walter Anderson Museum of Art, I don't know if you've seen their growth and their development. Mm-hmm. They are literally redone their art cottage in downtown, which also teaches classes to young artists and things like that.
Yeah.
And they're actually connecting both sides of the street down there on Washington Avenue with their art, with their organization. So you're going to see art growing in that area and things like that. Porter Avenue has grown so much, you know, and they've put some art installations down there and things like that. So we're coming along to kind of bring that back. And, you know, maybe some people might say we do have plenty of art. We just have so much that people may not see it all. You know, but I think that I would like to see our art a little more visually, a little more color throughout town, a little more creatively, you know, get a few more mural projects and things like that coming in town. And I do think that as for vision, you know, I think we're going to continue to grow with festivals and events. And I think that's what, you know, helps our community be. But also, I think that, you know, we're going to have to find some more development. Some more development is going to have to come. It's just going to have to, you know, because if you don't grow with everybody around you, you die, you know, and we don't want to die. So we want to make sure that we do have some of that growth. So as for vision wise, I just see, you know, some more art. I want to do things like that, you know, working with our businesses, help maybe educate our businesses in some ways. You know, we have so many businesses in the community. We have this cool, almost kind of like an incubator per se. It's called Descarado, and it's a coffee house.
Yeah.
And they're really cool.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get them on the podcast too.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, you know, but they are offering free space for people that, you know, just work remotely. remotely. You know, that's becoming a part of life these days. Remote workers.
It's a great place. You know? It's a great setup in there. They've got a Zoom room there too.
It's
fantastic.
And a conference room, and then just space if you just need a space to work on a computer. Yeah. You know, and so that incubator, that education, that development, I think is part of our near future. And I also think that we do have growth. You know, we have a new hotel called the Hemingway opening. The Roost is adding more rooms to them.
Oh, cool.
I also think that we need a little more development. Like I said earlier, we need a hotel in downtown, and we got to find a creative way to make that happen. And why has it not happened?
Space.
Cost, you know, that's why our current administration is working on trying to get some of those incentives and things like that in town, and also finding the right fit. You know, you can't put a 70 something room hotel in downtown. Of course, we have limits on how tall buildings can be, but you also got to find the right development, the right financial backing, the right people that can actually bring what fits in our town of Ocean Springs.
Right.
You know, it can't just be any of, like, I don't know if you've ever seen the Hampton Inn in Fairhope. You know, it is right in the heartbeat of downtown. You wouldn't even notice it.
It mixes
right in. It's right across from the Chamber of Commerce in downtown. Mm. And it's a 2 or 3 story building, and it fits. You know, we need some things like that. And I think that with our growth and our development, and we've had, you know, some help in the economic development way. We've had some companies that have, you know, helped us research and development and things like that, or want to take that on. But it just takes a lot of parts and pieces to make all that happen. And I think you'll hopefully begin to see some of that, because hopefully we're putting those right parts and pieces together.
Are you worried about how the sort of traffic issue downtown, the traffic density, how that might actually affect growth in downtown, further growth, especially on Porter?
I think it's going to add to the growth, of course. You're going to see a lot more than you already have. You've already seen growth height-wise. You know, luckily our buildings can't be too tall, no taller than 2 or 3 stories tall. So you're going to start seeing growth going up in our downtown because we have so many people. Mm. You're going to start seeing some more, and we already have. And I think that's part of the vision. That's where we've got to go. You're going to see a lot of more upper floor housing. You know, that's very, very popular these days. You know, we don't have a lot of space for that, but you're going to see that. And then for us, we also see more Airbnbs. You know, we did a study for the Peter Anderson Festival in 2017. And one of the things that came out of it was only 68% of residents stayed in hotels. The 32% stayed in Airbnbs and vacation rental by owners, or family, of course. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's, you know, 70-30, that's not a huge difference. But 2017 to today, you're just seeing that grow. And I think those are the things that's going to, where the traffic is going to push our town to be in the next year, if not already starting.
Right. Yeah, I've brought up on the show before, it seems like the road problem might get to a point of diminishing marginal returns. And, you know, you've got all these businesses here, but if they can't get the efficient access in and out, it's going to hurt them.
Exactly.
Like, has there been any discussion in your organization about how to maybe combat that, either public transportation, or maybe it's these pedal drinking things?
We do have one. It just came down. Slow ride.
That's what it's slow ride. Maybe it's a bunch of those. I don't know.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think the Ospreys came along at a very good time. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really helping the community. You know, they're really neat. They're doing all the work for the community. And one of the aldermen said that they praise them for that. That they're coming up with the grants. They're coming up with these ways to make our community more walkable and bikeable.
Yeah.
You know, we have a downtown walking map. We have, you know, like I said, the 150 shops, restaurants, office space in a downtown walkable area. So what do we do with that traffic? We're going to have to find a way to help them. There was a recent wayfinding study, and wayfinding is like signage and directional signs, parking signs, things like that the city did. So the city knows that there's a need for all of this growth related to the traffic. And they're going to start, you know, helping that. You know, we just got approved a parking garage, so that's going to help as well. It's a hidden parking garage, hopefully, the way that it's going to look.
Oh, okay.
But All that traffic, it does force us to find those creative ways to help sustain that traffic. Not necessarily push them out, but sustain that. As for like the roads and the ingress and egress and getting in and out of buildings, that's pure city. We don't really have anything to do with that unless a business owner or resident complains to us and we pass that information on or connect those people together because we are an informational source.
Yeah.
But as for things like I said, the Ospreys that came along at a really good time, they have already worked on some of the downtown streets and got the speed limits reduced, you know, just so people would be safer when they walk, when they bike, when they ride their golf cart. I think Ocean Springs becoming a golf cart community, you know, we have downtown golf cart rentals that you can rent golf carts, came at such a perfect time for us. You know, every community tries to find what's neat, what works for them. You know, we've had people come pitch scooters, segways, all kind of things to say this would work for your community. Well, you know, we would try those kind of things out, and it was interesting to see what stuck really is the golf carts.
Yeah.
That's what stuck for our communities.
Mike Impey tells me he was the lone person who voted no on on the golf carts. And so they sent it up to the state and say, he's like, no, something like this, he got to be all in. And so he had to change his vote, but he was initially against it. But it seems to have worked out.
Right.
You know? So
it does.
So let me ask you, I mean, I think the golf carts are a good thing, mm-hmm. but it also... is it safe?
Right.
You know, because we're mixing, you know, the sort of vehicular traffic and golf cart traffic. And for some reason, people are far more liberal with the way that they drive golf carts versus a car.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Well, there's pros and cons to that.
Yeah.
You know, luckily our downtown streets have a slow enough speed limit and those golf carts
25,
do,
right?
Yeah, and those golf carts go pretty fast.
They do. Yeah.
You know, so it kind of really works. You know, that's not really too much of a problem. You know, I think everybody kind of works together. You know, like we have things, people do come to go to the city, you know, with their problems related to things like that. But the city kind of usually finds a way to kind of work that out. And then our businesses as well, like a few of our restaurants literally have golf cart parking.
You
know,
wow.
Just a couple of them. But that's kind of a neat way to kind of help that because, you know, a golf cart's riding down the street and so is a car or a truck riding down the street. And, you know, there's a huge parking space for a car. Where's the golf cart park?
Yeah.
You're going to take up a whole parking space?
Yeah.
You know, people do have that problem. But I think we've kind of come to where people kind of like accept that. You know, people love to ride their golf carts. And it's really neat that, you know, for our festivals, we don't allow golf carts within the footprint of the festival. But by golly, you got to let those people on golf carts ride up to the festival entrance.
Yeah.
Because it becomes such a part of what I have a golf cart. I've got to ride a golf cart.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah, you know? It really is, and it feels cooler to ride on city roads in a golf cart. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
Can't explain
I'll tell you a cool story about our golf carts, and maybe it's a way that we bring economic development to town. I don't know. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we're getting ready for an upcoming event, and a few staff members and I, we have a golf cart for the chamber. We have a little chamber logos on the side of it, and we were riding around town, you know, stopping in and talking with business owners because we had to, like, get in, you know, put stuff in their yards and things like that, but give them signs and all that stuff. So we rode our golf cart around for the day, and I'm not telling you, not once but twice, it was really cool. At one time there was this group of guys, and they looked like young kind of military guys.
Yeah.
You know, we're in our golf cart and we're pulled over, you know, while one of the staff is talking to the businesses, and they're just like, hey, can I ask you a question? And we're like, you have the right people to talk to. That's what we do. We're the Chamber of Commerce, you know. And they're asking, like, where do we eat? Where do we eat? And we tell them places to go, you know, and they pick this one restaurant. I won't mention the name because we support all the restaurants.
Yeah.
But they pick this one restaurant. And then not an hour later, you know, a different group of folks, family, guy, wife, kid, you know, five or six of them as well, you know, come by and say, let me ask you a question. Where can you eat in downtown Ocean Springs? So I'll go through the spiel. You know, if you want this, you know, you have these kind of restaurants. You have this, you have this, you have this. The exact same restaurant. When we got to the description of that restaurant, they picked that restaurant. So it was so funny. And they had an outdoor courtyard. It was so funny. About an hour later, we're riding back through downtown and you literally see 10 to 12 people, two separate groups, literally in the courtyard at this one restaurant. And I'm like, You know, maybe we need to get our golf cart out a little bit more and ride around town and just answer questions
well,
for people.
Well, that's direct impact right there, right? Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's cool. So, you know, everybody has pros and cons related to golf carts, but I think in the bigger picture, it fits our community. And I would say I think the majority is happy with it. There's always going to be bumps. There's always going to be problems. Sure. But I think it's a good fit. And then now we have this slow ride, which is a pedal bike. You know, some of the bigger cities like Nashville, Austin, Savannah, they have those.
Pensacola's got them too.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we just got our first one in town. A company that just came in. So I've seen that riding around town. They're starting to book. They had a Mother's Day event where a lot of women use that bike around town. And they're working with our restaurants to actually, you know, have deals and specials and things like that. And they're working on their routes right now to make it kind of cool to be able to bob and weave in and out of traffic in the downtown area. But I think it's going to be a cool addition. I think it's going to be really fun during festivals.
It's going to be real popular.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 That's for sure. So what's down to, aside from a hotel, what else is downtown missing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, we have a lot of clothing shops and art and things like that. You know, I would love to see a few more galleries in town, but leakage wise, we don't have, this is what the leakage study says. We don't have enough furniture and we don't have any menswear, men's clothing, men's activity type of shops. So that's what our economic development studies say we're missing in downtown.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. You know, we don't have a lot of places for men to buy stuff. And we do have places that do have furniture in there, you know, that's kind of growing a little bit. So, you know, especially during the pandemic, everybody was buying everything up, Lowe's, Home Depot, working on their house and things like that. So I definitely feel that's a need. I think we do have a good mix of that in downtown. But as for a straight furniture shop, we don't have that. Will it sustain itself? I don't know. I'm not sure if it will. I mean, now if you mix in local artists and become creative and involve it in the shop, involves itself within the community, then sure, I think it would.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely don't see a regular furniture store being downtown. And plus, a furniture store takes up so much real estate.
It does.
As well.
It
you
does.
Know, so.
But if it's creative consignment and maybe local artists are building something or things like that, I think that would work.
What other areas of Ocean Springs are you focused on?
Well, we focus on all of Ocean Springs.
Fair enough. What area of Ocean Springs do you think has the next big potential?
I would say the east side of town.
Yeah.
I really do. And Porter Avenue as well. You know, you have a lot of folks in that Porter Avenue area that are working as a community. You know, we have this one development company that has their office space down there. They're the ones helping develop the Roost and things like that. So they already have a step up in that, and they're part of the community. They know the community.
Yeah.
So that's going to help them be more successful with that growth on Porter Avenue. But Porter Avenue, a lot of people have said over the last year so that they kind of want that to be like the new entrance to town or to downtown when you come right over the bridge.
Yeah.
And I think it would be an addition, most definitely. And they're working on, a lot of people are working on growing that area because we do have some vacant real estate space, mostly like green grass area. So it's prime area for development. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like I said, the east side of town as well. The east side of town, there's a lot of problems and things that we talked about earlier that have to be fixed. But I think once those are fixed, you know, I hope we don't see just more neighborhoods pop up. There is a need for that. But I also do hope that it will give us an opportunity to find a little bit more of that creativity that we may be missing in town, like we were talking about earlier. Not necessarily the big boxes. The big boxes like a Walmart or, you know, something like that. But maybe, you know, smaller, you know, reach of things like, you know, maybe a couple of chain restaurants that are on a smaller community-based lifestyle. I think that we could see some of that growth on the east side of town. The east side of town is basically gets its city, but then in a portion of it gets into the county. So the city and county have to work together on that kind of development and recruitment. But I think that you have seen in the last 5 years a lot of families migrate to that end of town. I mean, come on, look at the Ocean Springs High School that we have over there.
Yeah.
You know, at one point our school superintendent called it the university, you know, because it's so huge.
Yeah.
And in Ocean Springs, you know, we do have one of the highest concentration of students, you know, in that in a high school there in Ocean Springs. So you're seeing a lot of families gravitate to that area. Now, are they gravitating to that area because they like the open space, they like the nature, they like the greenery, or do they want development? I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So I think you got to be careful with that. I don't want to see a lot of development on the east side of town, like box after box after box after box. You know, I hope that we still keep those pine trees and things like that. It's still part of that mix, and I think that would be a good growth. You know, there's only so much more that we can do out there.
Yeah.
And in 10 years from now, who knows? But I think that the city and the county does a good job of kind of finding that mix. That you know, we're not going to have like a 10-story building or something
right,
out there.
Right.
You know.
So what does it look like to you then? I mean, do you have a vision for East Ocean Springs or what that might look like, mm-hmm. or an example maybe that you've seen in another city that?
Yeah.
That would go good there?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say because we, you know, there is a lot of space for neighborhoods, you know, in that area. But as for something, not anything too specific. You know, like I said, really, I would like to see a little bit more pop-ups, like, you know, whether it's a Panera Bread or a Chipotle or something like that. I'd like to see a little bit of that on the east side of town. And, you know, I would love to see an area where local shops and restaurants and things like that can be on the east side of town. But you also have to think, where is most of the traffic? More of the traffic, it's just the facts, is going to be concentrated in downtown. Mm-hmm. Unless you create another downtown on the east side of town, I do not think that's recommended. From my history education and all that I've learned, you know, you really don't need two downtown areas, you know. But I do think that they could, you know, put some small big box pop-ups, which will generate traffic, mm-hmm. on that side of town just because of the name.
Yeah.
You know, I think there is a mix for that. I think you're going to see a lot more kind of office space and business space out there. You're not going to see, in my opinion, I probably wouldn't put too much retail out there. Of course, you got to have a mix of retail out there because,
right,
you
right.
know, I live out there. So how much easier it is to go 5 minutes instead of 20 minutes,
sure.
to get that shirt or, you know, something,
yeah.
cute, you know. So I think there is going to be a mix out there, but east side of town and downtown are two totally different environments. Vibes in every way whatsoever. So growth wise, I hope I kind of answered it kind of loosely, but
yeah.
you know, I kind of see it as that. Nothing big. You're going to see some development, and what I would see, like I said, is I would love to see some of those smaller big boxes that fit in with the aesthetic of the community as well, to drive a little bit of that traffic. And then those businesses, economic development, those type of businesses will help those businesses that surround it.
Are you familiar with the Wharf in Sandestin?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see something like that,
nice.
where it's this, and I got the idea from Germany in Kaiserslautern. There's this huge area, probably a mile by mile area, and it's all cobblestone road.
Nice.
And there's you know, restaurants and businesses, and then mm-hmm. above it's all like, you know, housing. You know,
yes.
people can live up there.
Yes.
Something like that. Something I'd like
I
to see
so.
Something walkable, something mm-hmm. in that area, curated. You know, not a natural pop up, but by design. This is the image that we're going for. I'd like to see something like that. And
wow.
really, I'd like to see something that goes across Highway 90 in some sort of walkable golf course or golf cart type thing where you can navigate. Mm-hmm. Across 90.
Wonderful. That would be amazing. You know any developers or money backers that could do that?
Yeah, I think that'd be so cool because it's not downtown, because downtown
right.
is downtown and,
exactly.
and that's unique. But maybe take the form of a downtown, call it the Villages in East Ocean Springs,
mm-hmm.
something like that, you know.
Nice.
But that incorporates all the things that people want to do down there, but in this area, and get it right.
Right.
In terms of like the traffic, because of course the traffic is an issue in downtown, but
right.
but to be able to, you know, manage that and have that taken care of on the front end,
right.
I think would be great. But yeah, obviously
I'm open to that.
Yeah. A lot of money though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, I think it's obvious. I mean, you've said yourself, if you don't grow, then you die. Right.
Right.
And so growth has to be not just in businesses and revenue, but also the real estate.
Right.
You know, so it does seem inevitable that
right.
we're going to expand.
Exactly.
You know,
and you have to find that right mix. You know, like in downtown, we put the festivals and that helps generate revenue. You know, if you develop something like that on the east side of town, that's where you're going to have to throw that mix of those smaller big boxes, because you're not necessarily going to be able to put another festival on the other side of town. So you have to find that
not
right
with that
mix.
Attitude.
Right. Well, you know, if you want us to, we'll work on it. We can. You know, we'll do anything to help our businesses, yeah. But you also, you know, you also have to make sure that you're your authentic self. You know, I've spoken at conferences about festivals and events planning, and you have to find what's good for your community. You know, yeah. If your community is focused on music and you have all these shops and that's what they are, let's just say you don't have a lot of shops and you just have like strips of where you have music and restaurants, you know, you got to be who you are. You know, if you're not a community that doesn't have art, an art festival is not going to be your best addition. That same way goes with the development on downtown or east side of town, or what yeah. activities you create for that as well. You know you can't just put a festival in a parking lot on Highway 90. You know, you can. Of course you can. Sure, yeah. We will. We'll do it. But if you don't do what you need to do, which could take a little bit more work than putting a festival in downtown, yeah. You're not going to get the return that you would in downtown, because you got to find what fits.
Yeah.
You know?
And that makes perfect sense. I mean, because mm-hmm. Everything's got to match, because it's not just that a festival there. It's there's an energy to a festival.
Exactly.
You know, and that energy has to match. You know, so
exactly.
and it's I think it's great that y'all understand that and are so good at that, and so
right yeah, and I'd love to find some creative ways to do some cool things on Highway 90, so I think I think that will eventually come.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's limiting in the city for growth?
Well, I think kind of what I said, basically, what we've heard over the years is the incentives and the things that the city can do for those developers. Mm-hmm. And it's no fault to anybody in the city. It's just, we're a town that's just beginning to grow. So how would we have known those incentives, those things that some of those businesses or developers might want? So I think that is like the main thing that's kind of limiting. And, you know, just, you know, finding the right developers. You know, it's all about the influence we were talking about, the contacts, the communication. You know, we've just got to find a way to find some of those cool people that just want to, you know, spend money in Ocean Springs and yeah. help us develop.
Well, do you think that maybe things like the Alcohol Beverage Commission mm-hmm. is keeping businesses out?
Out?
Yeah.
You mean like because of everything has to go through their Mississippi warehouse
exactly.
and that kind of thing?
And they've got their own established, like I think Whole Foods is one of mm-hmm. them where they want to control the alcohol being brought in, but you know, they don't want to play the game of the state.
Exactly. You know, I mean, me personally, I think that's a hard answer okay. because I understand what ABC does and I understand why they have to do it. But if it limits, growth into Ocean Springs, then yeah, I do think that's something we need to look at and figure out how to make it work. Like the Whole Foods, like if we wanted Whole Foods and that's what's going to stop them, then yeah, I definitely think that we should kind of work to figure that out. You know, I think that we do have a lot in Ocean Springs. We have plenty of restaurants, bars, and things like that work very well with ABC. But I'm going to say yes and no to that. You know, okay. it kind of depends on the times and it kind of depends on the personality to it. And you know, being the chamber director, if businesses feel that's a problem, then bring it to me and I'll do what I can to kind of help. But I do know there's a lot of talk in that, and you know, so it's a yes and a no for
gotcha.
Me in that area.
Okay, so then I guess I've got to kind of take you to task here, because you've yet to deliver on a Chick-fil-A in Ocean Springs.
Well, you know, Diablo is really close, and they have one. You know, I think it'd be a little bit, I would say, easier, and I could be shooting myself in the foot by saying this, but it might be easier to get something like a Chipotle or something. You know, different
How
businesses.
How dare you? But, the audacity.
Well, you know, like these businesses that come in, these corporate organizations, they have different levels. They have different sizes. They have different activities.
And Chick-fil-A is very controlling. Very controlling. They
I mean,
are.
I would love a Chick-fil-A. Yeah. I mean, you know, I love Chick-fil-A. I mean, we had a ribbon cutting like a week ago, and they actually brought Chick-fil-A to the table. And I'm telling you, when he opened that chicken nugget tray, I didn't hear anybody talking for 5 minutes.
You know what that is? That's a form of a blessing. Because
right?
it's God's chicken.
Right? Right? Oh, my gosh. They have it down pat. Did you see their COVID outfits that they had?
No.
I felt so sorry. I'm like, I guess those workers never going to get off now. They literally had like little like plastic boxes in some cities for them
really?
To wear, because they stand outside and take the order. So that's how they protected them COVID-wise. And those people kept working.
That's amazing. That's
yeah,
amazing.
It was kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Yeah. But kind of what I was saying was, like, as for, like, you know, of course I do want a Chick-fil-A. Yes. So I'm not downplaying that by any means at all. I do. But there are, you just have to understand, like, business-wise, economic development-wise, different businesses have different sizes and different criteria and things like that. And you really do have to work with those that fit in your community with your demographics, your size, your incentives, your property value, and what you have to offer them sometimes dictates what type of business, big box wise, you can have.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you can't change that.
Okay. You know? If you had a magic wand, mm-hmm. what would you change? What would be the number one or maybe top two or three things you would change to spur economic development?
That's a hard question. I think one of them is already happening, but it would still be part of my magic wand, is finding better ways to work with those developers. The second magic wand is bring those developers with that right money into town. and then probably the third one. What would be the third one?
Open up Tato Nut.
Oh, that's coming. You know that is coming. I
know. Can you give any details on that?
Right. Well, within the next couple of weeks, they are renovating a little bit. You know, the family's been very thankful that the community has worked with them to give them the time and patience. You know, nobody understands what something like that is when somebody has to go through a loss, and working in a facility with that person for so many years, you know, that's your life day in and day out. So that takes a while for people to adjust to still bring that. And they've always been such a big part of the community, so they want to stay a part of the community, but it's just been a big adjustment. So they're getting ready. They're going to be opening up this month.
Nice. Yes, I'm sure everybody's excited about that.
Exactly. Yes. So yeah, we're excited. And I think that's going to help a lot too. I mean, come on, they're so known, and you see those lines that go every morning down the street. So
what, this is kind of maybe off topic, but you know the old, I think it was a seafood plant down on Front Beach?
Mm-hmm. Fayard
structure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What can be done about that? I mean, I know this might be out of your realm, you know, really.
Some of it is, you know.
Do you have any thoughts on that building?
You know,
that structure?
I wish something would come of that structure. You know, they found some creative ways to use that current structure, you know, like having church services out there and things mm-hmm. like that. So it's kind of cool, but, you know, I would love for some artists to get their hand on that.
That's what I would like, honestly.
You know, and kind of just turn it into something cool. Will that mean food trucks? Will that mean things like that on the beach? I don't know.
Is that a problem?
We have to grow. A food truck can't necessarily stay on the beach side beach. You know, I mean, they can, you know, be, you know, if they have the right permit for a certain amount of time. Again, I don't know. I don't remember all those kind of rules.
Yeah.
So they can be there a little bit. But as for over there on that property, we don't have anything. I don't know if it's zoned for something like that. Mm. The city would know that, and sorry that I don't know that answer. But it's not a problem, no. I mean, I would just start with just doing something creative with it.
Yeah.
You know, turning it into something cool looking, and then figure out, you know, what you can do with it. You know, that area, you know, it does have history. I don't like it, the look of it sitting there, but it does have history there, so why not start with just kind of bringing back a little bit of life to it to start?
Yeah.
You know, and see where it grows from there.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Mm-hmm. So I do want to ask you a question about the there was some money sent to that was supposed to bring businesses in. It mm-hmm. was, I think, $30,000. It was a topic during the election, and one of the questions that came up, because money was sent to recruit businesses mm-hmm. and bring them in, paid to a firm. One of the questions that came up, well, where does the Chamber of Commerce fit in terms of recruiting businesses, and mm-hmm. why did we need to shell out that money?
Right.
Do you have a take on that?
We do know our place. We're very careful. You know, we are in a city entity, and we work really closely with the city. So hopefully the city does a good job, and I think they do. And I say hopefully because, just to be cautious, that they do help keep us informed in roles related to that. But as for recruitment, that's part of one of our arms. Main Street, our organization, Main Street, literally, if you look up the laws of and the history and the mission and the purpose of what Main Street is, it is business recruitment. That is one of our missions. So that is part of our role in who we are and what we do, because we want a business to thrive and grow. You know, if you have vacant buildings, what can you do? You know, that's going to stop a person walking down the street. That's going to stop traffic. That's going to make businesses around start to wonder and may hurt their business as well. So part of Main Street's mission is business recruitment. And, of course, being a chamber of commerce, we want to retain that that business. So it is our role. My take on that is, you know, I'm assuming you're referring to the company that the city hired to do that. You know, I think they serve their purpose. You know, I think the community learned a lot from that. You know, I do think that, not to kind of sound boastful or anything, but I think the Chamber of Commerce has a lot of that information. And I think the Chamber of Commerce has a lot of history and research in that area to help be a part of that team. And so I think, and we have in the last couple of years and going forward in the future, that the Chamber of Commerce does have a bigger role with the city in the recruitment. Again, like I said, that's what we do. I mean, we're the fluff arm of it. So we provide part of that demographics to that. Does the city need an organization or anything like that to help them? You know, that's a toss-up. I think we have some great people in our community right now that do know that and do have those skills. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're currently on the right track. You know, I think the city and the chamber is becoming more educated and stronger in those areas from using a company like that to kind of learn from. And, for example, go right across the bridge to Biloxi. You know, they have their own community development department. You know, so I think that Ocean Springs is doing a great job of the city itself getting them in place to be able to, and I'm going to say hopefully work with the chamber to do that as a as an organization for the community.
Yeah, you know? And
because who knows what you need in your town more than the people that actually live in your town?
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. 100%. And one of the things that I learned about that was that the money was allocated. It was actually mm-hmm. used. It's not like there was some weird deal. It was literally used for its intended purpose.
Right, you know,
it's
correct. Just,
and sometimes, look, you pay a contractor to do something for you, and they do a terrible job. What do? Well, you're mm-hmm. kind of out the money, but you never use them again. You know, and just try not to make the same mistake twice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, what else do you want to talk about?
Oh, my gosh.
We've covered so much.
We sure have. And I'm just hoping, like, did I say anything wrong? Did I say anything bad? You know what I mean? But I'm just trying to be, you know, an honest person. And, you know, my purpose, my goal in what I do is, you know, everybody has their own personalities and their own character. So people always judge people, you know, from what they hear, from what they see. Of course, word of mouth.
Yeah.
But just me personally, you know, I just really just want the best for the community of Ocean Springs. You know, that's my job. That's my career. That's my life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever want to do anything or say anything that would hurt the community, but there are sometimes things that you have to do, and I know the city alderman and mayor have seen that in the last couple of years. Sometimes you have to do things that the community may not like for growth. You know, hopefully I haven't, but
or may not fully understand from
correct.
Their perspective. Yeah,
correct. Yeah. Yeah, and like for me, all I really want to do is again the beginning of what when we started talking of why I like my job. You know. All I want to do is see people happy. I want to make people happy. That's what I want to do. When I go home at night, I just want to know that I made someone smile because they came and opened a business or because they were super excited that they had a girls' trip in Ocean Springs and they got to shop till they're drop. I love doing that. or, you know, you just had a family that came in and enjoyed the beach. And like we had a couple today that was coming to apply for the Peter Anderson Arts and Crafts Festival. And the wife is sitting out there with one of my staff people talking about we've got to find a home, a second home. We've got to move here to Ocean Springs, you know. And I was just, it just made me smile to see that my staff person was sitting there with that person doing everything they could to tell them about everything good, great in our community in hopes of them coming and living in Ocean Springs. That's what makes me happy. That's what I love to do.
Yeah.
You know, whether I say something right or wrong, you know, my end goal is just, you know, for the betterment, for the growth, for the happiness, you know, because people are people. And you have to just understand that when somebody gets mad about something, somebody doesn't like a certain business or something, you know, that's, you know, there's a reason for that person to mm-hmm. not like it. And I think it's important to kind of figure that out, work with those people and do what we can just to make the world a happier place. It's hard enough for everybody in this world.
Yeah, there's some advice from Dale Carnegie that comes to mind, and it's assume the noble motive. You know,
nice.
Assume the noble motive there.
Exactly.
But look, again, I think you and your team have done a fantastic job. It's a pleasure to live in Ocean Springs, and you know, being so the Air Force Air Traffic Control.
Yes.
Tech training is down here at Biloxi, so everybody comes through here.
Right.
Everybody talks about Ocean Springs. It always makes me proud to know that people have, it's such a desirable place. Like
right.
in Mississippi, and Mississippi's got some quirks about it, but Ocean Springs is always talked about with a lot of gratitude.
Right.
You know, people are thankful that this exists. So keep it up. And are you and your sister competitive about your work in government?
Of course we are. Of course we are. You know, we like to say we have both sides of the bridge covered. I work for Ocean Springs. My sister works for the city municipality in Biloxi, City of Biloxi. So, yeah, of course we do. You know, yeah, yeah. I mean, we both say that our cities are the best cities on the coast, you know, because of what we do and who we are. But, yeah, we do.
Well, I don't know what her role is specifically, but
public affairs for the city of Biloxi.
Oh, okay. Well, well, Biloxi's downtown has really changed as well.
Yes.
I was driving through there on Howard Avenue last week, and it looks great. Really
it does.
I think everyone's trying to follow the Ocean Springs model.
Of course.
You know,
I do too. You know, we do have to watch, you know, our communities around and what they do, but I'm all for it. You know, everybody, as long as each city finds their authentic self, in what they do and what they develop, then I think that our 26 miles of coastline will just stay that. A big, cohesive 26 miles of coastline with each city and parts and pieces fitting together in their own way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get a little jealous sometimes of all the things that's going on in Biloxi, but we are a different city than Biloxi.
Right,
so some
right.
of those things, it wouldn't fit in our community of Ocean Springs. But, they're doing a great job. You know, they brought their first Fridays back.
Okay.
You know,
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's really, really cool what they've been doing in their downtown Vue Marche area right there.
Yeah.
So a lot of our folks from Ocean Springs, a lot of our artists go over there as well. So I think there is just, you know, some cool ways that there is some cohesiveness between the two cities, Ocean Springs and Biloxi. So we love it. We love what we do with each other, but, you know, we do compete. You know, I can't promise that we don't bug each other for ideas. How do you do this? Can we do this over here? You know, and vice versa. You know,
of course. But that's you leveraging those relationships.
Exactly.
Even the closest ones you
exactly.
got.
Exactly. You know, and I need to start like, what about some of their developers over there? You know,
there you go.
You know, find a fit in Ocean Springs, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks again for stopping by to talk
sure.
to me. I've had a blast. We spent like almost about an hour and a half
wow.
talking.
Wow.
It
like to talk. So.
It flies.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
But again, thanks again for stopping by. Please continue with all the great work. All right.
Thanks. I enjoyed it. I love your show. I love what you do. And, you know, come hang out with us in Ocean Springs anytime.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll see you. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I certainly did. And if you want to follow more and hear more, you can check us out on any of the major podcasting platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, everything. You can also follow us on social media. I've got a YouTube channel, so search for Shop and Chivalry. Subscribe there. We also have Instagram. Just look for Shop and Chivalry. Twitter at Shop and Chivalry and Facebook.com/Shop and Chivalry. You can also shoot us an email at administration@Shop and Chivalry if you'd like to be on the show or suggest somebody or give more direct feedback. You can also find that link on our website, shopandchivalry.com, where I have all of my ramblings about the show, what the show means to me, that particular episode. I've got a blog, other media on there as well as embedded players. So you can play the shows and the videos for those that have video as well. So again, thank you for all the love. I appreciate all the feedback. It's been wonderful. I'm having a great time. And much love. All right. See you.